Welcome to your forum on local issues, problems, and solutions. This is Community Connection.
Hi, I'm Delana Bennett. Have you ever just wanted to give notice at work or sell off your belongings and move away to some faraway exotic place? Now, for most of us, that is a dream quickly interrupted by the reality of life. But some people are able to make it happen. And one of those people is my friend Suzanne Sachs-Rue, who is sitting here. And she, along with her husband and daughter, pulled up their roots from the Bay Area and they went off to a village in France to live their fantasy life. Now, in the life lessons they learned, they have now shared in a book entitled Courage and Croissants, Inspiring Joyful Living. And it's a story of life, and it's also a life guidebook. And Suzanne is a life and executive coach, and she joins us here on Community Connection to tell us how to apply what she learned on her journey of self-discovery to our everyday lives. I am so happy you're here because I think this is such an important topic for so many of us right now when we're dealing with stress and pressures and how much we have to do at work. And so we see this fantasy life out there, but I don't know. How did you do it?
Well, thank you, Delana. It's wonderful to be here. Absolutely. The stresses of life are just overwhelming for people, and it's becoming unsustainable as they continue. You know, there's a couple things that we looked at here in our journey. One is to look at the big changes that you need to make in life that to really go forward into your dreams. So do you have dreams that you really want to achieve?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of us would say yes, but a lot of us don't know how to get there.
Right.
You know, our goals and dreams seem too far away.
Right. So there's a couple things that we really learn. One is the fact is that you begin to look at life and say, is life no longer working for you as you know it? And once you get to that point of acknowledging that, you're able to begin to say, okay, what are really my dreams I really can no longer put off? Now, it may take a couple years to get there. It may take 10 years. But am I moving in that direction? And it took us 2 years of planning to even to really make the move, the shift that we did. So it wasn't like it happened overnight. But at the same time, what with things we learned by living in France is how do people live there with joie de vivre? Why do they have so much? What is it possible to take what they lived with and bring it here wherever you live in busy America? And we found there are some simple things. That's what's interesting is there are some simple things that we can do, but we tend to overlook them or not make those choices.
Well, I love this because not everybody's going to pack up and move to France. It's not everybody's dream, but you could apply it to your everyday life.
Exactly.
Maybe you're looking for a new job or maybe you're looking for a different situation that you're going to be happier in. Who knows what it is? What is this joie de vivre that we can apply?
You know, there's one very simple one to start with, and that is your schedule. We are so busy. And when I go around, we talk to people and we ask people, especially if they have children, you know, they've got in a couple, you've got not one schedule, not two, but three or four or five. And we say one of the things that they do, and this is part of the culture in France, is on Sunday, everything is closed. You cannot go do anything. You cannot go shopping. All you can do on Sunday is basically have a good meal with friends and be out in nature. And those are the two things that allow people to, one, enjoy each other and their friends and family, enjoy time to cook a good meal, and be out in nature and get grounded again. But we tend to be so busy and so scheduled that we never allow one day to be totally spontaneous. I mean, just think, if you have one day a week that you have no plans, no schedules, how does that feel?
It feels great, but it hasn't happened in a long time for me, at least. Yeah. But, well, I'm just thinking about, you know, you got the kids and you know you have to get so many things done and everything. How do you tell yourself, okay, Sunday we are scheduling out. We're just going to stay at home, play in the yard, play with the kids and have dinner.
Right. When we came back, we became very conscious of this because we were caught up in the same thing before. And we said, okay, no birthday. She's now turning 11. No birthday parties on Sunday. We just don't go. We don't schedule anything on Sunday. Sometimes we may call Sunday morning and ask a friend if they want to go to the beach or meet us, but we don't plan it. So if it doesn't feel right or we don't feel like being there a certain time, we aren't pressured to do so. So we have decided as a family that Sunday is our down day. And we literally are with each other. We have a good meal, whether it's at home cooking or out, and we are out in nature. We go hiking. We do something like that. But mostly it's to have no schedule. The other part of what we've done is we've really tried 99% of the time to not be around technology on Sundays.
Oh, yes.
So we don't do anything on the email until maybe Sunday night, but we really try to just be with ourselves and be grounded and have a great time. Mm-hmm. And it shifts the whole week.
So, by the way, I'm talking to Dr. Suzanne Saxrue, and she has written Courage and Croissants, and it was about her picking up her family and moving to France and living the life they wanted to live, and we're trying to apply it to maybe your everyday life. Having the courage in this particular instance, I would think, to say no to friends.
It's a small thing, but it's huge.
Yeah.
It's a very small thing, but it's a huge thing. I mean, there's other things. As you know, food and France are very synonymous. So one of the things is that we, and many people here try to do it, but to really look at how do you, when you are going to be cooking meals and entertaining, how do you do it that you really do it with joie de vivre? Can you involve people more in the process? Can you try new things that bring you out of your comfort zone? I know you love to cook. Mm-hmm. Can you try a new recipe? Can you have friends come over and bring different wines and taste different wines? So do things that really expand your comfort zone in not just a routine way, that bring you more joy.
Do you think that when we do that, that releases some of the stress that we live under in a routine that may grind on us?
Absolutely, because we're being creative. Mm. We're really tapping into our creativity, and we're tapping into really stretching beyond and connecting with what really might be important to us that we tend not to do. And it doesn't have to happen every week, but if you did this once a month, it would be an amazing thing in your life. The other thing it's interesting is that when we do have friends over, is many people like to go home 10 o'clock, right? They're tired. They have a big schedule tomorrow. Part of it is they have to get up on Sunday morning and do something. But to say to people, you know what? You're going to be here a long time tonight, so plan on it. And the evening takes on an entire different twist. The conversation grows. You begin to say, oh, let's play some cards. Let's play a game. And you find that you're really in the moment and you're not thinking about the next thing you have to do.
I like that very much. Stay in the moment. And I think that's so hard for us to do as Americans.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What is the thing that people say to you after they read your book? You know, what do they come up to you and say, this is what I really enjoyed, right, or this is what I really learned?
A couple things. I've just gotten an email yesterday from a woman who's, you know, a very, busy professional woman. She said, I have to tell you, I read your book back on the airplane from Houston to San Diego, and I am so inspired to really look at how we balance life and work. She said, my workplace is out of control. I've got to do something and bring it in there. We've got to be able to take lunch at work. You know, we need to take time together as a work community and enjoy each other. We need to sit down there and talk.
I just ate a can of tuna in the studio earlier.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. Work is out of control. We're all expected to be so productive. But I feel like so many people are burning out.
Well, and the research does not show that not taking lunch makes for more productivity. And if we just one simple thing. If we said every Friday people go out to lunch or we have a communal lunch, we actually take a full hour, maybe an hour and a half even, and talk, you would be amazed at how the productivity, the motivation, the creativity, the sharing really brings people much more joy, because we need joy back in our workplace as well. And people have really lost that.
How would you help a company that knows that they need to do more of those types of things? Have you gone in and talked to them?
Yes, we're doing some work in that way. And many companies have great policies. I have to say that. There's a lot that are doing things with great policies. But what happens is that it often stops, especially now with the pressures of people being fearful they're going to lose their job. They could be easily replaced. That the leaders are all about productivity, working hard, and many people are doing more than one person's job. So the leaders in the middle here have to push back and say, what kind of environment do I really want to have? What am I modeling? Am I telling people that they don't have to answer emails on weekends? Am I saying to them, you know what, once a week we're going to have a lunch together, or I'm going to insist you eat away from your desk. I'm going to insist you go to that yoga class. I'm going to insist that we take a walk and breathe the fresh air. It's a gorgeous day outside. You know, to really be able to help, the managers need to do that. And then secondly, the individuals need to take responsibility and say, you know what, I am going to leave and take lunch. I'm going to actually go watch my kid's soccer game. And I will, if I have to finish something, I'll do it later at night. But I am, I am going to really focus in. It's my responsibility as an individual, and as a leader, it's my responsibility to get back that joie de vivre so that productivity can increase.
Moving to France is a huge risk for you and your family. And in the book, you describe, you know, what that means and how it was for you. For us, if we're not moving to another country, how do we learn to take more risk as individuals?
Great. It goes back to the dreams we talked about earlier. If you can get focused on what your dreams are and to really then move forward one step at a time in embracing them. And part of that is to get out of your comfort zone. We tend to get into these routine patterns. So getting out of your comfort zone might be taking a different route to work. So you look at something different, as simple as that. To actually saying, you know what, I had a colleague, she said, I really want to learn how to do vegetarian cooking. And all the excuses came out. I don't have time. I don't have the money to go to a class, all of these things. And it came up that she had a good friend who was a great cook. And all of a sudden she realized, why doesn't she invite her over to dinner, get her to help her cook, and she'll buy the food. She had a friend to share it with. She was learning how to cook, and she was going out of her comfort zone in making it happen. Mm. So it's really allowing, giving ourselves the freedom to say it's not just about work. It's about our whole life. And how do we want to live our lives?
Mm. Some great, great tips. The book is called Courage and Croissants, and I'm talking with Dr. Suzanne Saxrue. And the other thing that you brought up at the beginning, and you just mentioned it there, I was talking about risk and everything, but you have to step out of that comfort zone in order to take risk. And I think a lot of people are afraid to look at things differently. They fear changing things at work. So how do we think about stepping out of the comfort zone?
There's actually four different ways to get out of your comfort zone.
Oh, good, good, good.
The first one is place. So you may not move to France, but do you actually travel to, it may be to, let's say you live in Carlsbad in San Diego. Do you ever go into downtown San Diego? Do you ever go there and hang out there in downtown and just get a different feel of the buzz to get out of your comfort zone? Do you ever go up to maybe Julian or somewhere up there where it's easy to get to, but you're in the country? So to really look at how you can easily do those things, you might trade with somebody who lives in downtown San Diego, an apartment for a weekend, say, let's trade places. Let's see what it's like to live here, you know, in a different place.
Wow, that's a great way to stimulate your
mind. So just a very simple thing like that can be done. Also to travel, I mean, many people, believe it or not, the research shows that about 50% of the people have never been outside 50 miles of where they grew up, which is fascinating to me. I know you're looking very surprised yourself. But if you start to step out of that, you'd be amazed at what you see and what you feel and how you get stimulated. So place is one. People is the second one. Are there new people you might want to meet, new people you can engage with? It might be professionally, it might be personally, it might be creatively. But people can stimulate you in ways that you've never realized. The third one is around actually getting your brain stimulated. So are there new things to learn? Picking up knitting, picking up vegetarian cooking, mm-hmm. picking up something that will stimulate you. It also helps to hopefully get rid of or not have senility as we get older. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is to really look at the different processes and ways we do things. Do we need to change that and look at doing something simpler or differently?
I love that. I love that. That is getting out of your comfort zone and how to do that. And I think all of the things that we've talked about, whether you're feeling pressure at work or you're stressed out or you need help balancing, I think that if you pick up the book and you read Courage and Croissants, maybe it can inspire you towards more joyful living. And that's what it's all about. It's a life guidebook.
Absolutely.
And you know, the picking up and moving to France is one example, but there are so many things you can apply it to in your everyday life. Now, I know that people might want to get in touch with you. Is there a website or something like
that?
Yes. I mean, you can pick up the book, Courage
sure.
and Croissants.
You can get the book at our website, which is www.healthyjoyfulliving.com. Or Amazon has it as well. And you can email me as well at Suzanne@healthyjoyfulliving.com.
The book is called Courage and Croissants. And I'm talking with Dr. Suzanne Saxrue.
A bright future starts with a healthy lifestyle.
Pinocchio,
I'm a real boy.
Good nutrition and physical activity are fuel for your child's mind and body.
You're talking?
And the food pyramid will help you find the right balance of everything you and your child need. Grains, vegetables, fruits, oils, milk, and meats and beans.
Nothing can stop me now.
Just remember, smart choices from every food group, along with the right amount of physical activity, can put everyone on the path to better health.
Look, the wishing star.
You don't have to make a wish for a healthier you to come true. Just eat right.
Here's an apple.
Be active.
Come on, I'll race you home.
And make it balance.
Attaboy, Pinocchio.
A healthy lifestyle can lead to great things for you and your child.
Visit MyPyramid.gov to learn more. That's MyPyramid.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
My name is Caspian. Beyond these woods, I'm a prince. My uncle has always wanted my throne. He's a tyrant and a murderer, and I've only lived this long because he didn't have an heir of his own. Last night, Miraz had a son. My uncle won't stop until I'm dead. It's only a matter of time before these woods are full of Telmarine soldiers. The throne is rightfully mine. They help me claim it, and I can bring peace. They'll be here soon. I am Prince Caspian the Tenth. Together we have a chance to take back what is ours. Explore new worlds. Read Caspian's story in the novel The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian by C.S. Lewis. For other great book ideas, visit your local library or log on to www.literacy.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left? For a week, a month, a year? What if you left for 2 years? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about? To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself? Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Welcome to your forum on local issues, problems, and solutions. This is Community Connection.
Hi, my name is Delana Bennett, and I want to welcome you back to Community Connection. Dr. Suzanne Sachs-Rue has written a book called Courage and Croissants, and it's about inspiring, joyful living. She's a life coach, and she's going to help us recognize what isn't working in our life. If you're in this type of situation, she can give us some tips on determining your options. Because what she did with her family and her life is she picked up and moved from the Bay Area to France to change her life completely. That takes a lot of courage.
And back again.
Yeah.
And back again, maybe.
Yeah. Why was it France that you thought, okay, we're going to move there? Why was that your dream?
Good question. Well, you know, leading up to that point, we were a dual career professional couple, had been married actually for a number of years and had a young baby late in life. And I had a business partner who died of cancer. So we had run through a number of things. And all of a sudden it got to the point that we just said, life is no longer working. And you get to a point where one, you might think it, but you have to actually face it. And you have to say, okay, life is no longer working as we know it today, so therefore, what are we going to do about it? And if any of your listeners are thinking that, it may be a small parts of their life or it might be the entire life. It really is the catalyst to moving forward in your dreams. So then it's really about...
So it's not necessarily a bad thing
it's
you feel
great.
That way.
It's freeing. You feel so free when you acknowledge it. When you finally say to people, you know what, my life is no longer working and I'm going to do something different. And it's amazing how it also opens up the doors to what other possibilities can come in. And that process may take a year or two where that's all you're saying. But by opening yourself up to that, new thoughts, new ideas, new attractions will come to you. So it's amazing.
That sounds scary. I think a lot of people hear that and they think, well, I can't change anything. I have my routine. I have my secure job, or what they may think is a secure job.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows in this economy?
Right.
But... Is it a general malaise that you feel? You know, you feel bored. You know,
no, I think you feel desperate. I think you feel like you get to the point when you are really willing to make a change that you begin to say, you know what? You might feel depressed. You feel desperate. You might cry a lot. You might say, I just can't go to work anymore. You might just feel this total malaise all the time where you used to feel joy, happiness, passion. And when you begin to feel that way, for people who are passionate usually at their work and their job and their life, it's not a happy place to be. And so it becomes so uncomfortable. And, you know, as people, we are more motivated by pain than pleasure. And so therefore, often we have to put ourselves in those places of pain to get that motivation to move on.
It's interesting because I can see this manifesting in so many parts of your life. I mean, maybe you're having money trouble.
Yes.
Or maybe you're having trouble dealing with the kids, or... maybe you're having trouble at work or with your house.
Yes.
Who knows what it is?
Yes.
Relationship issues?
Right, exactly. So it's really focusing on what's no longer working and then beginning to say, okay, now that I acknowledge that, what are my options? And many people, that was the thing you brought up about options, is that we have a lot of options. And we have more options than we even know what to do with. In fact, that's part of a problem for many of us. We have too many options. And when you have too many options, it's hard to choose. So really going through some sort of both intuitive and deliberate process to analyze what are my options. And you might get help from a life coach or a career coach or a financial coach or whoever it might be, but to really examine those options so you're able to make some conscious choices.
Where would I start? Let's say I'm having a hard time at work and I want to change my career.
Well, you can do a couple things. One is that you could go to friends who might have done the process and ask them for support around that, getting help. There's a lot of community resources around different career choices and so forth. On the web, there's a million things. Finding a career coach is always a kind of get you there quicker and faster. There's no doubt about it. But to really take the action and to say, I am going to look around. I'm even going to talk to my boss and tell him I'm unhappy. And so to be able to take that action and move forward brings you more good feelings about where you're going in life. And therefore, you attract more good feelings about where you will be going.
Mm. That is a tough thing to do, though, is to reach out and to ask for help.
Oh, absolutely.
And even more men than women refuse to do that kind of thing.
Yes.
So do you have any help
for somebody? Starting with your partner, of course, is the best if they're a good listener at that, to really do that. But if people are having trouble, I would strongly recommend they get some professional help because they can cut through it much quicker than a friend. You may have supportive friends, supportive people as well who can do it, but finding somebody who can do it is really a faster way to go forward. And it doesn't have to be long-term. It can be a very quick thing to move you on your way.
Mm. Let's talk about, you have a chapter in the book, actually, it's part of a chapter, but it's called Enjoying the Simple Things in Life,
mm-hmm.
and really taking the time to enjoy the simple things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of us don't do that anymore, I think, because we just don't take the time. Do you have any tips for us on how to really just appreciate what we have?
Yes. I think the first thing is when we would look around at our lives, we have a lot of clutter in our lives, whether it's things, whether it's people, whether it's to-dos that we have to do, or whether it's actually technology. And we need to begin to simplify what is around us so we have space to enjoy. We have space to breathe. So not always walking around the house, for example, and going, oh my God, this house is such a mess, I can't find anything. But to be able to really live in a clearer space so that we actually have time to enjoy it. And so I would start with your home, your office, your purse. You know, get rid of the clutter and really simplify those things in life that make it easier to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy place to start.
Mm. And there's also a tip about creativity.
Absolutely. Creativity is one of the things that most of us tend to lose, especially as we get busy at work. But to tap into, what have you always wanted to do? Have you always wanted to paint? Have you always wanted to knit? I don't know. Have you always wanted to cook? Have you always wanted to learn a new skill that you just haven't? And to allow yourself and give yourself that time. It doesn't mean you have to take a class, but it does mean that you should dabble in it. Buy some paints. Buy a paintbrush. Go out, you know, and paint the beach. And it's a very simple thing to do that all of a sudden changes us completely. I mean, creativity changes your brain chemistry completely.
I heard something a while back about, I don't want to be too religious, but prayer and being thankful and feeling grateful can help you feel more at ease in life.
Right.
And I truly believe that. So your take on that,
Sure.
that something that you were able to discover?
Absolutely. Being grateful and having gratitude is a key thing. And this is something families could be and can be and should be doing together. Very simple way to have a fabulous dinner conversation every night. What are we grateful for today? What happened great today? You know, and what do we want to do differently tomorrow? And just saying those words can make both you and your family and your children feel wonderful. You know, at nighttime with your children, you know, what are you grateful for? What 10 things happened today that are happy? And children, especially, but adults as well, tend to focus on the negative. And if we acknowledge the 10 things that we're grateful for and the one thing maybe that didn't go so well, we all of a sudden realize how much more we have in life, where we tend to focus on that one thing more often.
The book is called Courage and Croissants, and it's about inspiring joyful living. And it is a great book about taking a risk, taking a chance,
yes.
Living your dreams. And the reason we're going through all of these tips and trying to help you with that is because I think the way it applies to most of us is a lot of people are stuck. Yes. A lot of people are in a rut. We have this hectic, work-driven existence. We're trying to find peace and trying to find happiness with our family, but we just don't know how to get there. And I think some of the best tips that you gave were, okay, how are we going to step out of our comfort zone and get to a place where we can live our dreams?
If everybody just did one thing literally and said, okay, what's the one thing I really want to do in life that I haven't paid any attention to? And what would it be for you, Delita?
I'd probably try to travel a little bit more or take more vacation.
Okay. So and let's combine travel and vacation. So it's a matter of being purposeful. So you think about, okay, where do you really want to go? Can you combine the travel and the vacation? And, you know, do you want to be in the sunshine or in the snow or with people in a foreign country? Do you want to do a cooking class in a foreign country because you love to cook? So how can you combine these things and really focus on it and then plan for it? It can happen if we focus on it. But most of us tend to not focus on those things that are not right in front of us.
I see. What about, one of the things you pointed out is if you do need to get out of a rut, you have to ask people for help.
Absolutely.
You have to reach out. One of the things, and this is just applying to me, but I would love to share more details with people I love, share more details of my life.
Right.
Do you think that brings more of a sense of balance?
Absolutely. And the key thing there is picking people who want to be in that conversation. There's some people who really, for lack of a better way of saying it, have negative energy and don't want to be included in that kind of conversation. They might be jealous. They might be envious. They might think, well, how do you think you can do that? I can't. And you don't really want to have that conversation with those. You want to get those who want to be in that conversation, who will support you and you can support in return. And then things shift. And I talk to many people who say, you know, when I made changes, I found my friends changed. Because some people just can't handle it. And it is something to look at those people in our lives. We want people who will support us and we can support in return.
How does that affect our overall happiness when we do have that support?
We have more energy. Mm-hmm. We're not drained. I mean, think about many of us have one or two people in our lives who drain us. And it's not worth the time anymore to spend much time around them. Mm. So if you have to be around them, you have to do it minimally, you know, compartmentalize it. But if we can have choices, then we should choose not to.
I loved when you were talking about taking a day off with the family and kids, and maybe somebody just joined us. Can you explain that whole concept again? You know, what you learned from living in France and taking the chance that you did, the joie de vivre, because I think that's an important thing for everybody to hear.
Sure. It's a matter of really taking the risks and the courage to really move forward in both your dreams and what you want to do in life, because life is way too short. And if you have children, they grow up way too fast. So it's literally, if you can focus on your dreams and literally put one step in front of the other, it's not that scary.
Make a plan. Would you suggest writing it down?
Write it down. Look at the pros and cons. Get supporters to help you, because many people will help you if you ask. Most of us just don't ask. And really look and say, what are my options and what can I really make happen? And it is amazing when people get focused, what you can do in life and what you can attract in your life to make things easier and happen.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time.
What is one of the greatest things that you got out of writing the book?
Wow, that's a really interesting. You know, I think because my daughter was somewhat involved in it, and my daughter actually did the cover of the book, it was really a family adventure. The whole adventure of the book and then writing it and being involved in it was really something that we did as a family will have forever. And it just felt like this is a mission that my husband and I have in life to really bring back the joie de vivre to people both at work and at home that we Americans have lost.
Mm, very well said. The book is Courage and Croissants, and it explains how to reinvent yourself. Whether you know you're living this life that you just don't love anymore, maybe you're a parent and you don't know how to deal with your kids, or you want to step out of your comfort zone, or maybe you just want more balance. I think there's some great reading in this book and great advice, and I appreciate you being here and sharing it all with us. It's a story and life guidebook, Courage and Croissants, Inspiring Joyful Living. And could you give us the website again, just
sure,
in case somebody wants to follow up with
it's,
you?
www.healthyjoyfulliving.com, and the book's available there, as well as information about what we do, and also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble online.
Thanks for listening. I'm Delaina Bennett, and this has been Community Connection.